should not even in the Olympics.
Okay.
No, they're banned from Olympics. There's a few Russian athletes competing for other countries.
Yeah.
But
welcome everyone. It's so nice to see everybody here this morning, and the sun is shining out for us, and this is so great. And well, Mel is making her way up to the front. Here she comes. Here she comes.
Sorry about that. Just a couple of you have asked about the project on the tiny houses. So at this point in time, the project has been put on hold. Tuesday, I believe, there will be an announcement coming out in the newspaper. So if you check out the news for the City of Cornwall, but for now, the project is on hold.
So we also want to thank Alex for being with us again this morning to lead worship. Thank you. So, hot off the press is the newsletter. So if you haven't picked up a copy, it's at the back. And if you have somebody that you know would like to read the newsletter, please pass it on to them. And also, pancake supper Tuesday night. We have volunteers, and I know that some of you cannot volunteer, but come out. Come out and eat. Bring your family, friends, anybody you pick up off the street, bring them in. Because this is a fundraiser for the whole church. And so we're also going to have takeout so that if you think of somebody while you're at the dinner that would like to have a pancake supper as well, you can take it to them. And so come out, come out, come out. Tell everybody, if you're on Facebook, share it with everybody. Just get out there. There's an event page for it. And just promote this thing. It's happening Tuesday night. So let's go. I think the weather is supposed to be good too. And we're not going to run out of beans. And we're not going to run out of dessert. We're not going to run out. So after the annual meeting, which you're all going to come to, because we need all of you there. There is going to be a simple lunch of soup, homemade soup. Who doesn't like homemade soup? And so please, mark your calendars. That's March the 1st, and Reverend Donald will be here leading worship and staying for the meeting. Now, this afternoon, our wonderful choir is going to Shadow Cornwall. And if you want to join in with them, they would love to have your company and to visit the folks. And that's at 2 p.m. Shadow Cornwall. And so Feed My Sheep is doing their thing on Family Day. So if you can come out to the Agape to feed the people, help make the preparations and everything like that. You start at 9, right? 9 o'clock. And so also, I marked in the calendar, and it should have been in the calendar right from the beginning of the month. This is Black History Month. And so there is a little part in there about the United Church. And so if you want to give that a quick read, that would be good. And so, especially is Union United Church in Montreal. I've been there. It's a wonderful black church. It's awesome, the energy that is there. But it was also where Oscar Peterson learned to play piano. And so it has that significance as well. And his sister also taught a lot of other people at Union United. So your income tax receipts are at the back. And Ash Wednesday, which follows our pancake supper on Wednesday, we're all invited, along with St. John's, over to Trinity Anglican Church. And that's at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the communion there is going to be open table just like it is here. Everyone is welcome. So come join us on Wednesday morning. Thank you.
Good. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship here at Knox St. Paul's United Church. It is an honor and a privilege to be leading you in worship this morning. My name is Alex. For those of you who are regular attendees here, you may recognize me from last month. I was here last month. And I also previously served as the digital community animator here for a few summers. So it is always an honor and a privilege to be back here this morning. For those of you who are new or visiting Knox St. Paul's, we have slides throughout the service, some of which will contain verbal responses. And so if we have a responsive portion of the service, you are invited to respond with the words that are in block capital letters. And as we gather on this day of worship, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to Earth and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities. Please join me in the call to worship. God's glory is revealed to all creation. His power and majesty reigns supreme over all. Christ's true being is a gift that shines for all to see. We honor his presence with love and joy. The Holy Spirit opens our hearts, lifting the veil of darkness. Let us praise God's holy name. And as we gather this day for worship, we take this time to proclaim our vision and mission for the community that we are a part of. We are partners, participants in the work of God. Together, we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, you are the light that shines in the darkness, revealing the living spirit of creation that praises you. In you we have our beginning and our end. In you we have our purpose. And only in you do we find the truth of peace and love. As we worship your most holy name, we give thanks for the mercy you show us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we celebrate his transfiguration, reveal to us your message of hope and joy. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 217 from Voices United, All Creatures of Our God and King. The words will appear before you on the screen. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we say the prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of mercy, as we gather together to worship your glory, We carry our burdens and our failures. Our mortal desires distract us, carrying disappointment as we cling to false promises and selfish actions. We are afraid of what the future holds, bending to loud voices wielding temporal power rather than opening ourselves to your divine will. Forgive us for our human failings. Enter into our hearts and renew us, so we may carry out the mission and vision you laid out for us to help build a city where no one journeys alone. Amen. Indeed, we as humans are often overwhelmed by uncertain circumstances, pulling away from what we are meant to do. But hear the good news. We do not journey alone. God offers us mercy and forgiveness. He renews us with a clean spirit. So be at peace knowing that you are forgiven and loved, and in that same spirit forgive and love one another as we help to build a city where no one journeys alone. Amen. Our next hymn is number 651 from Voices United, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We will sing verses 1 and 2, and following our time for the young at heart, we will sing verse 3. Let us sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I'm sure that I don't have to ask the question, but I'm going to anyways. Does everybody know what the word expectation means? Usually, just in case if someone does not know, a personal belief that something or someone will have or do something. So for example, if I go to the back and flip a switch on the breaker, I expect that the lights will turn, in this case, off, because they're already on, but to turn on or off. That is an expectation of what I believe that item will do. When it comes to our faith, our lives as humans, we have expectations. Sometimes it's developed as we grow and mature, and other times it's sometimes instinctive. Kind of just comes at an instant. We don't really think about it. And when we have expectations when it comes to God, we have things like we expect God to listen to us when we pray. We expect Jesus to be with us as we journey in our Christian lives. And today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's a word in the English language that we don't use very often. Transfiguration is basically just a fancy way of saying transformation, changing from one thing to another. But in this case, it's not really a transformation, but more of a revelation. We learn that Jesus' divine nature paired with his human nature is revealed to three disciples on the top of a mountain. And we'll be learning today that the disciples had expectations of Jesus just as we have expectations of Jesus. and how on Transfiguration Sunday we commemorate this transformation, not necessarily of Christ, but of the disciples and of ourselves, where our faith undergoes growth. It's organic, it's a living thing that we carry with us. And Transfiguration Sunday is a day that we commemorate to renew our vows, our expectations of what it means to be a Christian. And sometimes we want Jesus to look or act a certain way. Because of our human failings, we sometimes attach that to God when we worship. And sometimes it's a good thing. We obviously want God to listen to us when we pray. That's a good thing. But other times it can be a bit distracting. And so it's important to align our expectations with God's holy plan rather than our own limited human understanding. And so my message for the children, if we had any this morning, would have been to encourage them to think about what it means to be part of the church family, and to understand what it means to expect things from adults, from one another, and what they can expect from God. Love, compassion, peace, joy, understanding, all of those different things. And to help guide us to God's holy plan, we take time in worship to read and reflect on what is written in the Bible. So let us continue by singing the third verse of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and then we will listen to this morning's focus lesson.
Wise and merciful God, you have revealed to us knowledge and wisdom sourced from your perfect goodness. Just as your Spirit compelled the authors of Scripture to proclaim your glory, we pray that you inspire us with your words and illuminate our minds to see your vision of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to all and to one another. Amen. Our focus lesson today is from Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. I will set up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us. "I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone."
O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. We have many important dates in the Christian calendar, the two major ones being Christmas and Easter. We also have Pentecost, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Epiphany, Shrove Tuesday, which is this Tuesday. By the way, I will not be able to attend, but if you could all have a pancake on my behalf, I would be truly grateful, because it sounds to be a delicious event. However, one of the special days in our Christian calendar is today, Transfiguration Sunday. It's a day that for most of my own life has went unnoticed. Of course, I can't speak for every church, but it's been my experience that Transfiguration Sunday goes largely unnoticed and uncelebrated, partially because the word transfiguration just sounds complicated, and partially because Christmas and Easter gets most of the attention as the beginning and end of Jesus' temporal life. But if we take a moment to actually understand what Transfiguration Sunday means, we start to notice something a bit remarkable. Transfiguration Sunday marks the end of Epiphany and the beginning of Lent, two more words that sound extremely complicated. In short, think of Transfiguration Sunday as a new chapter in the story of Jesus, a marker that signifies a great and dramatic change. It might not be as pivotal as the birth and death of Jesus, but it is still a significant moment that I personally think should be celebrated a little bit more, or at the very least acknowledged with a bit more reverence. This Sunday marks the official revelation of Jesus' divine nature. There can be no doubt any longer. Jesus is declared to be the Son of God, fulfilling the holy task of sacrifice and resurrection. This momentous occasion, something that should be a pivotal moment in the story of Jesus, is actually quite intimate. You would think that when we conjure images of transfiguration and the white glow of Jesus being proclaimed as the Son of God on the holy mountain, you'd think it would be this giant, blinding light of revelation for the entire world to see. But in reality, it was only seen by three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. The four of them, along with Jesus, went up to a mountain just 6 days after Jesus began speaking about his death and resurrection. I cannot imagine if I had a friend who was talking about death, often he's like, oh, I'm going to be dying in 3 days, resurrecting in 3 days. And it's like, that conversation would be very grim. It'd be very concerning. You'd want to say, like, are you okay? Do you need help? It's quite distressing. But Jesus told his closest followers that he would have to suffer and die and be raised from the dead. Not exactly the happiest news. And of course, like most humans, the disciples didn't want to accept that their closest friend was destined to die. They were certain that he would live and fulfill the prophecies to liberate them from the oppressors. But they just didn't get it. No matter how many times that Jesus tried to teach them, we see the disciples confused, asking questions, and downright denying the things that Jesus was telling them. Thankfully, Jesus was a very patient man, teaching them over and over again. And so Jesus took three of his most trusted followers up to the top of a high mountain. All the other disciples and the unnamed followers had to wait below. I imagine the others probably muttered amongst themselves, speculating as to why Jesus wanted to travel alone with those three particular disciples. We don't know if Jesus spoke to them as they walked up the mountain or if it was just a silent journey, but we soon discover that that silence was broken by a bright light enveloping Jesus as he underwent his transfiguration. No magic words were spoken, no triumphant chorus of angels making an appearance, just a simple, bright light. Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright. I like to think of the sensation being like waking up in a dark room where the window is covered by a blackout curtain, and upon opening the curtain being blinded by the light of day reflecting off of freshly fallen snow. Much like when I came in this morning and turned around to face the direction of the stained glass. I felt like I needed sunglasses to walk into the building because it was so bright with the sunshine. Definitely not complaining about the sunshine. It is just a little bright. It's uncomfortable, and it usually makes me flinch for a moment or two. As Peter, James, and John saw this transfiguration happening before them, they saw what they believed to be Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And this is very significant because both Moses and Elijah are prominent figures in Abrahamic traditions. Moses, the holder of the commandments, and Elijah, the harbinger of the Messiah. Peter sees Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah, and he is thrilled at this moment, more so than James and John, who presumably are frozen in awe. Peter interrupted Jesus' conversation, offering to set up three tents. Now, this is a very interesting linguistic choice, because tent to us might just be like something you set up in a forest when you go out camping for the weekend. But without the proper context, it seems a little bit silly to interrupt Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah to set up some tents, which seems kind of trivial in the moment. But Peter's offer is actually more than that. It's not just offering to build simple tents. He was offering to construct tabernacles, a portable shelter built by the Israelites to house God during their exile. Peter's offer was made with the intention of honoring the tradition of his ancestors to provide a dwelling place for these holy beings. And of course, offering this form of hospitality in honor of a sacred tradition is not a bad thing. But as Peter was speaking, he was interrupted by a very powerful voice overshadowing them from a bright cloud. So not only do we have these powerful beings glowing brightly as the sun, we have a cloud that takes the brightness up to 11, practically blinding the disciples, paired perfectly with a booming voice that shakes their very cores. It's like if I went up to the projector, stared into the lens, and had Rosemary lean onto the organ to produce the loudest sound she could. I don't think I would last very long if I was doing both of those things at the same time. And so Peter, James, and John fall to the ground, overcome by fear by this great big voice, telling them that Jesus is his son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. This would normally be a very shocking revelation, except this wasn't news to the disciples. Just one chapter ago, Simon Peter called Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is not some new piece of information that they're learning about for the first time, and hopefully they were already listening to Jesus. Maybe not understanding, but at least they were listening, hopefully. The disciples were already following Jesus. Although considering the number of confused looks and the questions they were asking, they might need a little bit of help in that department. But why is this big booming voice saying things that they already knew? They saw Jesus performing miracles, they saw him teaching and feeding thousands. And it's important not because of what was being said, but because of who was saying it. Much like us in the present day, the disciples were human beings, mortals with their own understanding, their own worldview, their own biases, and their own vision for the Messiah. Jesus was supposed to usher in a new era of peace, restoring the tribes of Israel and liberating them from the Romans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and anybody else who threatened their way of life. The new messianic age would usher in a final triumph, where suffering would be no more. And who can blame them? Generations of Israelites lived under the tyranny of empires and kingdoms taking advantage of them. The land known as Israel and Palestine are still being taken advantage of to this day. The prophecies foretold of a Messiah who would come forth and bring about the kingdom of God. It's no wonder that these disciples were confused when Jesus is straying from their expectations. They were conditioned to seek a path to salvation, and Jesus was their way out. So too do we have our own humanity to contend with. There are many of us who have our own idea of what Jesus is. Or alternatively, there are some Christians who choose to twist and use Jesus to justify their un-Christian behavior. Just as the disciples held onto their traditions and understandings, even as Jesus was transforming before their very eyes, so too do we often succumb to our own human weakness. When we pray the prayer of confession, we acknowledge our failings, not as a weekly ritual to appease God, but as a serious moment of reflection, a serious moment of humility, falling before our God. And while it is true that we strive to live lives fashioned by Jesus Christ, we must acknowledge our limitations, just as the disciples acknowledged theirs. They were afraid, not of the light, but of the voice that proclaimed Jesus' divinity, because that voice shattered everything that they were taught, replacing it with holy truth that Jesus is the beloved Son of God, and that they were commanded to listen to him. It was no longer Jesus' charismatic words or miraculous works that drew them to God. God spoke to them directly to proclaim Jesus as his beloved. And what they wanted or expected of Jesus didn't matter anymore. No longer was Jesus just a wise teacher, a healer, a prophet, or a friend. Jesus is proclaimed as the Son of God, and we are commanded to listen to him. No longer do we have free agency to do with Jesus as we wish, using him as an excuse or a tool to shape the world the way we want to. It was never really an option in the first place, but generations of humans can sometimes be a bit deluded to think that we can use Jesus to shape the world however we want, using the gospel to justify whatever they want. As Christians, we are called to follow Jesus. On its own, it is very straightforward. Love God and one another, just as God loves us. But what we aren't told is that in order to become a follower of Christ, we must wage war against our own humanity. Just like when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me," when Peter tried to talk him out of sacrificing himself, we too are faced with a stumbling block of our own, our failings. We must acknowledge that our prejudices and our judgments of one another hold us back from our Christian calling. It is a battle faced by everyone, by me, by you, by everyone. And sometimes we hold up okay, and other times we fail miserably. There are Christians who use the scriptures to justify hate and anger. Sometimes we like to conveniently forget about parts of the scripture so that it fits in with our narrative of showing off to be what it's like to be a good Christian while conveniently ignoring central tenets of the faith. Our human expectations of what Jesus is supposed to represent often harms those that should be protected, the vulnerable, the lost, and those suffering under those with material power. But here is the good news. We are not alone. Just as Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, "Get up and do not be afraid," Jesus stands with us, supporting us in every step and every stumble in our spiritual journey. When we impulsively try to hold on to traditions that hinder our mission to serve the community, Jesus stands with open arms. When we seek comfort in the arms of familiarity, preventing us from showing compassion because it's a little uncomfortable, Jesus is there, reminding us of our responsibilities. Transfiguration Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' divine nature. It is a proclamation and a revelation made to a select few, so that one day all may see and understand. In the midst of confusion, anticipation, and fear, we sometimes have to go through a bit of growing pains. But in the end, we are called to take part in that transfiguration, to open ourselves to acknowledging and proclaiming Christ's divine status. So let us celebrate Transfiguration Sunday by committing ourselves to our mission and vision, helping build a city where no one journeys alone. It's going to take time. It is going to take strength, compassion, humility, and maybe even a little patience. which I know is something that, as human beings, we all struggle with. We all want our good works to happen today. We all want our community to be together today. But these things take time. And with Jesus teaching us and showing us the way, we cannot fail. So let us go forth. Let us show our community that they are not alone, that we stand ready, willing, and able to serve as examples of Christ, transforming our community into a place where love abounds and no one journeys alone. Amen. Our next hymn is number 102 from Voices United, Jesus on the Mountain Peak. The words will appear before you on the screens. We take this moment in worship to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit that guides us in our worship. We are gathered here as a community of faith called to love and support one another in our joys and our struggles. Therefore, if any of you wish to share a moment where you felt God's presence either here in this place or during the week, I invite you to come forward. Or you may take this time to allow yourself to live and breathe simply in this moment, to exist amongst creation and meditate on God's holy presence.
I know that all of you have heard about what happened at Tumbler Ridge in British Columbia. It always strikes me when something like this happens, when there's children involved, because I picture my own grandchildren and it breaks my heart, just like the three hockey players in Alberta that died, teenagers who died on the way to practice. I'm thinking, as a community that really cares about other people, this is not helping build a city when one journeys alone, but maybe we should reach out to the faith communities in Tumbler Ridge, send them a note saying that we're thinking about them. I was thinking of getting something together for next week that we could all sign, and that because, yes, as Alex said, Jesus is walking with them. We saw that this week, how much that community gathered together. But I know how hard it must be this Sunday to be in those congregations trying to find some comfort in the words that are being spoken. Because I've been the one standing at the front after somebody committed suicide, and it was me that was leading worship that Sunday, or when one of the members of the congregation was found dead in the woods. So it's hard for the faith leaders as well as the faith communities. And I think that maybe because we feel so strongly about helping others and being there for others, that maybe we can include Tumbler Ridge.
I don't think there's any other time of year when there's this many special days in a row. Yesterday was Valentine's. Today is Transfiguration. Tomorrow is Family Day. Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday. And Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. I don't think that happens very often, but there's that many special days in a row. And just following up on what Carolyn said, tomorrow being Family Day, when you're spending your time with your family, hold the families from Tumbler Ridge in your heart, knowing that they'll be missing some very special people. So hold your family tight. Don't be afraid to say I love you, whether it be to friend, neighbor, someone that you see on the street. If we're taught that we can hate people for no reason, pretty sure we can love people for no reason as well. So just go out and try and be the ones that are spreading love. We need it right now.
God reached out to the world in Jesus Christ, calling us to share God's transforming love. We offer our gifts as a sign of our readiness to follow God, praying they will become tangible tokens of that transforming love. Let us now receive the offering and prayer stones, carrying our joys and concerns to God. We have been blessed with gifts, talents, and abilities to carry out the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he was transfigured in a brilliant light of power, we offer our resources to also be transfigured in that same light, blessed to carry out the will of God for creation, equipping us to build a city where no one journeys alone. May these gifts lead to acts of love and kindness that touches everyone in our community, inspiring compassion and unity in the face of fear and division. Amen. Let us gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. God of love, you created us and set us in relationship with each other, in families and neighborhoods, in communities and countries, in cultures and nations. We give thanks for the work done in your name, establishing relationships that support one another in love. Help us to open ourselves to new and old relationships. Empower all generations to work together, helping to build a city where no one journeys alone. God of compassion, we give thanks for your glorious love placed within each of us. You have gifted each of us with the ability to love one another, to stand for goodness and justice. Yet we know that there are people around the world who don't feel this love. Those that suffer, those under attack, and those whose lives are needlessly taken away. We remember those who live in zones of conflict in Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, Yemen, Haiti, Venezuela, Cuba, and so many other places facing instability and civil war. We also pray for those whose lives are affected in Tumbler Ridge, British Columbia. We pray for the families of the victims and the whole community. May they feel your comfort as they grieve the loss of loved ones. And may we all reflect compassion to one another in the spirit of your holy love. God of hope, so many people face pressure, struggling with loss, economic uncertainty, health challenges, and interpersonal conflicts. Those with selfish ambitions prey upon the vulnerable with manipulation and division. We know that you are powerful. Your peace surpasses all understanding, your grace freely given. And so we pray for the vulnerable, and for those who perpetrate vulnerability. Show them your love. Inspire everyone to support one another in a spirit of joy and mutual respect, overthrowing greed and envy in favor of generosity and support. Teach us to let go of our fears and human expectations, and allow your spirit to transfigure our souls, aligned to your will for our community of faith and beyond. Help us to give our lives over to you, sharing in the vision you have for this place, a future with you in every moment. And as we are gathered this day as part of the family of God, We echo the words taught to the disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ, praying in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 640 from Voices United, Lead Kindly Light. The words will appear before you on the screen. We have witnessed Christ, God's beloved, on the mountain in glory. Now go into the world to shine the light of his glory with grace and compassion. May God's beauty inspire you, may Christ's brilliance restore you, and may the joy of the Holy Spirit empower you to shine in every place you go.
thank you, everybody. So that's the news I did.